My name is Vukile. I think Jamie has already said. We're going to be sharing on the book of Mark. So the book of Mark, chapter 7 from verse 24. So just to be able to give context into the text, it's a bit of a very challenging book. If you actually read if you read it, the story goes as a woman, Jesus goes into this area and he leaves Israel basically, and he goes out to the borders and he goes into another country in inverted commas. So he goes into another country and then what he does is that he gets there, he's literally coming, he doesn't want to be seen. That's basically the context of the story. And when he gets there, there's a woman that hears about him, and she has a need. Her daughter was demon-possessed. And she comes to Jesus, and she says, I need help. And Jesus says, you know what? I can't give the children's bread to dogs, you know? And this woman persists. And she says, like, you know what? But even dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the table, you know. So now, what the thing is about this book is that you see, it's the language is quite rich and quite provoking. Imagine if Jesus was today, I mean, if he had a mega church and he just called somebody a dog, you know, LBS, I think that would be probably a scandal, basically, you know. And in many cultures, I know, for example, that a dog is not necessarily, if you call somebody a dog, it's very demeaning, you know. So we want to be able to look at what were the scriptures talking about here, looking at in terms of the dynamics that were here. So number one, when we go through the scriptures, we see the first thing I think here is that I wanted to title this message, The Faith of Dogs. Sorry, let's start there. Let's be controversial a bit. And number two, I'm a bit old school, so I'll say amen a lot, you know. So I'm a bit old school, so I'm still adjusting to this, you know, Tabani style and stuff like that. Yeah. So I do a lot of amen, and for those young people, amen means we're together. Is it correct? Okay, so yeah, there we go. So this book here is covered by, in the New Testament, is actually covered by two, it's written by Matthew. Matthew also gives the same account, and Mark. So Mark, the book of Mark is actually primarily written to sort of like a Gentile, non-Jewish audience, you know. So people don't really have the background of what we'd call like Jewish, you know, they were not Jewish by birth. But then you look at somebody like Matthew, who's more, he was one of the disciples, you know. So he's more, he would bring more the first-hand account of what happened. So they both write about the same book, which Mark also writes about, okay. So now this is where we see in Matthew 15 from verse 21 to 28. Don't worry, I'm just going to quote the scriptures. We're not going to read them for time. Is that we see that the first thing is that In Matthew and Mark's account, the Gentile we're talking about is anybody outside Israel. So the scriptures talk about Israel, the nations. So just to give a brief, so Gentiles were people that were outside Israel. So people that were not part of the Jewish, the Israel nation. So we see that the Gentile, the in the book of Mark and the book of Matthew is that the Gentile woman approached Jesus, you know, for a need to get her daughter to be able to be healed, and she calls him Lord. But one of the things that what is quite remarkable is that in Matthew, Matthew explains, it says, Jesus said, he emphasized that he's more about the sheep of Israel rather than the people outside Israel, you know. Secondly, we see that in the same text, The woman's persistence actually comes across that even though Jesus has rejected this woman, remember, Jesus had the power to heal that woman's, but she woman's daughter, but she actually, Jesus said, no, this is not the time. I'm dealing with Durbanites, not Capetonians. Durbanites, you know? So that's the context here that Jesus is saying. Now imagine that. And he's like, and number two, I'm in Cape Town to have a rest, you know? I'm not here. I didn't come to Cape Town to heal people. I've come to actually not be seen. Amen. So the same thing here is that, but the one thing that we see is the humility of this woman. She actually, even after the rejection, she still persists and she says, Lord. And in both versions, it captures the woman's faith and how the request was granted. Okay. And that's what we're just going to go into that to say, should we go around calling people dogs? Or is there greater meaning to that, you know? So we don't want to go and say, oh, no, Jesus said calls people dogs, so we can call people dogs. But I believe if you go to the scriptures, there's a greater meaning and context. So the scriptures in the book of Ephesians says, we are built on the foundations of apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ is our cornerstone. So what that means is that the context of what we live for is what the prophets and what the New Testament has said. So in terms of Christianity, is built on what God has said in the Old Testament, but has now fulfilled, the Old Testament and fulfilled in the New Testament. Okay, so we're going to go through the text. So in verse 24, we see that Jesus moves outside Israel. So all of a sudden, Jesus was ministering within the confines of Israel. Remember, Jesus was a Jew, was from Israel. So his mission primarily first started in Israel. He was supposed to bring back God's people back to him. That was the main mission. So we see that. But all of a sudden, Jesus moves outside and goes to a place called Tyre and Sidon. Amen. And it's over the coast, so it's outside the borders of Israel. Now, after he's left Galilee, one of the things the scripture says, he says that, I like in verse 24, it says, even though Jesus entered that house, somebody's house, he did not want anybody to know that he was there. But the scripture says he could not keep his presence secret. Amen. I told him old school. So now think about this. Jesus did not have like PR and all these other things to be able to announce, to ensure that even in a nation that is not necessarily expecting him, that people would seek him. But for some reason, this woman heard about Jesus, but it was not part of her faith. It was not even part of her culture. But yet she heard of it. Let me just explain why this is quite important. I think why Mark actually wrote that he could not keep his presence secret. There's a Apostle Paul says something, and which is quite profound in Ephesians chapter 3. He says that the mystery the revelation that the gospel was made to him through revelation. Amen. And in Colossians he says in Colossians chapter 1:26 it talks about, he says this mystery was kept hidden in ages and now. And in generation, and now has been revealed. Paul was a Jew of Jews. He says to him, you know what, I was advancing more than anybody else in terms of understanding Jewish and you know, being a Pharisee and all those kind of things. I mean, in terms of the text and being a scholar. But the one thing that we see here is that even though Paul had a zeal for God, but he did not have the revelation of Jesus like this Greek this woman who was outside Israel. There were many Pharisees who were trying to persecute Jesus, but Jesus was hidden from their sight. Amen. So that's one thing that we see here is that there's something that happens in this woman's life that. She's Greek. Remember, Greeks seek wisdom. You never know. But the thing is, the Roman world seemed to be more advanced than the Jewish, in Israel. You know what I'm saying? Romans they built all these things. And I'm sure at that time, the Greeks also had wisdom, but the Roman world had a better option for her. so that she can get her child healed. But she seeks Jesus. Amen. Now, why this is quite important is because when Jesus moves outside the territory of Israel, it was because it was a fulfillment of what the prophet has spoken about. Amen. Constantly, the prophets were speaking about that there's going to be a time where a king is going to come. And when the king comes, which is the Messiah, he will then come and bring all of his children back to God. And once he brings the children back to God, then all the nations will then get healed. Amen. And Isaiah 11:10 says that. He says that to fulfill that, he says, the root of Jesse, which is obviously David, the son of Jesse. That's why you see constantly the some people who needed healing. They would say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus would respond. The reason, because it was a fulfillment of what Isaiah had spoken about, you know, to say that the roots of Jesse will come. And he shall stand as a banner for the people. And to it shall the Gentiles seek. And his rest will be glorious. Amen. And Paul says the same thing. And then Micah as well. I'm not going to quote all those scriptures. But Micah also says the same thing. He says, in the last days it shall come to pass that the mount of the Lord will be established as in the top of mountains, and it shall be exalted, and the people shall flow into it. Amen. The reason why this is important is because God wanted, when God's purpose, he wanted to restore man back to Eden. Amen. So what we are talking about when we're saying Eden, it means that God wanted to restore man back into a perfect fellowship. Amen. And the only way that he could do it, he tried with Moses, but he failed. But we know that Jesus is the last Adam, that all men can come back to him. So, but the thing is, what is holding Jesus is that God had made a covenant, or in circular term, a contract. So God had made a contract with a guy called Abraham. And he said, you know what, Abraham, look outside. If you see the sand, that's going to be how many your descendants are. And he took him and said again, hey, Abraham, look to the stars. And he says, if you can't count them, that's where your descendants is. So he's talking about two nations, amen, the natural and the spiritual. Now, but in order for that to happen, Jesus had to first come into Israel, to the natural Israel, the children of Abraham, the children of David, and so on, to be able to fulfill what the prophets have said, that the Messiah will come and then restore Israel, and then all the nations will see the light through him. Amen. So that's basically when we are talking about that, they will come, the nations will come into his light. Amen. So in verse 25, we see that the scriptures talks about that the woman said to him, you know what, in verse 25 in the book of Mark, she heard about him, and her daughter was possessed. Amen. And I like verse 26. Mark says the woman was a Phoenician, a Greek, born Greek, a Phoenician, a Syrian Phoenician. She begged Jesus to drive out of the woman. So she begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. Amen. So we see that the one thing that we see here is that the Phoenician woman's faith is basically what that enabled Jesus, or she gave herself up to Jesus. Amen. So that her need can be met. Amen. One of the things here is that we need to then clarify that there's a difference between belief and faith. Belief is something that you believe in, and faith must be anchored on the word. Amen. Jesus did not respond because this woman believed that Jesus is a Greek Messiah. Or, you know, but she believed that of what the prophets have said, what the scriptures had spoken about in Israel, and she saw that it would then impact her life. Amen. Hence, she humbled herself before Jesus, and she requested. And I like how Matthew says it. He says, in Matthew, here it doesn't see that the context. Matthew says, when this woman kept on persisting, the disciple said, went to Jesus and said, tell her to go away. Imagine that, that the disciples themselves, because obviously Matthew was there. He really says, she was irritating us. And we just asked Jesus, just give us the word, and she needs to go. You know, we're Durbanites, not Cape Towners, you know, that kind of thing. But we see that it's because of the context. There's a historical background. Now, one of the things that here is that if you, just to explain, the Sidonians and Tyre had been spoken about through prophecies before. There was a context in terms of, in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 23 spoke about the how Tyre, God was going to be able to judge it. Amen. And Ezekiel as well. Because there was a context of pride and all those things that they, between the two nations. And God had already spoken about it and that they were going to be able to obviously bring judgment over it. Now, why this is important is because these people or that nation was not necessarily friendly to Israel. So when the disciples see somebody coming across from another nation, already they're thinking, hey, who? They're coming with that historical background. But this woman was able to move beyond her geographic and cultural background and be able to apply faith. Amen. So we see that faith has no, is not limited into our background. We cannot mix our background or our ability to be able to walk in faith. Amen. So now imagine that. So even Jesus himself quotes Tyre. He says, you know what? In Matthew 11, he says, you know what? The things that I'm talking to you now, that I tell you, if it happened to Tyre and Sidon, those the very nations would have repented by now. Amen. So what it meant is that the things that have been spoken by the prophets, Ezekiel and so on, happened, the judgment happened, because they became rich and there were pride and all those things, and God had to deal with that nation. But Jesus says, here I am. If the very same people had received me, the very words that I am here telling you now, they would have repented. But here you are, Israel. I am here, who is greater than Solomon. And they could not receive him. They did not repent. But there's a woman who is a couple of kilometers away from Galilee. She then hears about Jesus and she repents. I mean, she changes her ways. But the point is, she goes to Jesus and says, I have a need. Amen. Remember, your great, whenever we are in a process or in a place of hardship, that's where our beliefs come up. That's where our belief system manifests. Amen. A good example there is at the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. It says, Jonah, we all know the story. I think we have gone to, what's it called? Kidsman. I know it's Sunday school. So when Jonah was running away from God, when the ship started to sink, the scripture says that all the sailors start to then seek after their own God. Imagine all these sailors, everybody wake up, seek after your own God. And Jonah was sleeping. And then one thing quite interesting, that as they were seeking after their own God, they said, let's lighten the load. Amen. They were assisting their God. Amen. But the Phoenician woman here demonstrated a complete trust in Jesus by believing and following him, and bringing her daughter. Now think about it, guys. This is a context. If you have kids, you understand that you would never place your child at a system that you do not understand. You understand? If your child is in need, you would never go to a system that you would never understand, or go to a healthcare system because you hurt somebody. You want to know that it has a reputation. This, her faith, she was able to say, you know what, I'm placing my full trust in Jesus, in somebody that I don't fully know. And my parents don't know. My family may not know. So that is quite, I think, quite an important thing about that. A good example of this kind of faith. Remember, she's Greek. So she's an outsider. Because she's an outsider, it's a similar thing in the scriptures when there's somebody called Ruth. So, you know, Ruth was married to an Israelite, and her husband died, but she was a Moabite, right? Moabites were not really the nicest nation against Israel. So what happened was, they was not so nice that God, in the book of Deuteronomy 23, God said, any Moabite, even if they want to be Israel, they cannot come before the presence of God until the 10th generation. But yet Ruth, in the scriptures, what she does, she knew that even if I take on becoming an Israelite or becoming a Christian in today's age, I would never have access to go to church. But I still would follow Naomi's God. Amen. Faith does not speak to our situation, but it speaks to what we believe God is. Amen. Imagine Ruth. Ruth said, I'm going to worship a God that I know, even if it's 400 years, my gene or my line, if I'm still a Moabite, I'll never go into the temple before God and worship him. But I'll still take this God. And she says, your God will be my God. Amen. Your people, my people. Amen. This is the same character that God wants us to be when we come and become Christians. Is that we take his God, we take his Father and to be our Father. Amen. And his people to be our people. Amen. It just speaks to that. And I like how this woman says to Jesus, she says, Lord. She calls him Lord. She says, hey, Lord. Amen. She could say, hey, guy, you know. Hey, dude. You know, youth today will say that, hey, dude, you know. But she says, Lord, and she exercises her Jesus' authority over her life, and she subjects herself to him. Amen. So this is one thing that we see. Amen. Verse 27, quickly. She says, Jesus says to him, you know what? I know that you have a need. I want your daughter to be healed. And Jesus says to him, let the children first eat all they want. Then after that, you know, because it's not right to take the bread of children and give it to dogs. Imagine that statement. Like, from that time, I would be an anti-Jesus. I would be an anti-Jesus. You know what? Because I've been so insulted. How can I be in such great need? And he says, let the children eat first, and then maybe we'll see about you. But this woman does not take offense of that faith, because when we have a revelation of what God wants us to do, we do not look at the present. Amen. Faith must be driven by what God has said, not the present circumstance. Amen. So we see that... She says that. Now, why this? Can I just explain why this is important? That we don't go around saying to people, dogs. So the terminology dogs and children comes from the Old Testament scriptures. Okay, so but in order for us to understand that, it comes from Genesis. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, God says that. He said, he blessed the man, right? And then he said to him, be fruitful and multiply. And then he says, subdue the earth. But when he said subdue the earth, he then said, man was supposed to subdue even the animals. Amen. So all of a sudden, there were two kind of living creatures. There were two type of creatures on earth. I'm not sure if it's creatures. But there was humans, which was the sons of God, and there were animals, which lived according to its own nature. Okay, so That's why when God speaks to Ezekiel, he says to him, come up here, you know, and Revelation chapter 4 says the same thing. It says, God, when he calls people and he starts to reveal, he doesn't reveal himself. He says, come up here. And then they were able to see what God wanted to see. And the same thing with this language. We see that the word dog actually occurs more than once in the scriptures, quite a number of times. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says to this, he says, you know what? Do not give dogs. Do not give what is holy to dogs, you know, or swine. So, you know, there's a lot of language here. There was a bit of a strong language in Jesus' days. Imagine Jamie talks about that. But he says, he says, you know what? Don't give what is precious to dogs or what is precious to dogs because and swines because they cannot value it, right? And then he says in Peter, so we're going to qualify because, you know, he says by the mouth of three, a witness can't be met. So another scripture. Peter also uses the same language. So it wasn't just isolated to Jesus. Peter chapter 2, Peter also says this. He says, a dog will do what? Go back to his vomit. Sorry, it's a bit strong language. So, amen. So. And Paul also uses the same word as well in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. He says, watch out for dogs, those workers of evil, those mutilators of the flesh. And Solomon also says the same thing, and I've already quoted. He says, a dog returns to his own vomit. Amen. So a fully returns to his folly. Why a dog? You see, dogs are animals who live on instincts. So the reason why they were called dogs is because dogs always act out of what their nature requires, the DNA, the human, the nature. Unlike a spirit man does not respond to his flesh, but responds to what God desires. Amen. So we see that in the scriptures, it talks about that, is that that dogs have got that. And the dog is a metaphor that Jesus was using. It's a metaphor of it's illustrating the character of the character. It's basically a character. Is that dogs, if it smells like there's something in there, if there's an nutritious, irrespective if it was not good the first time, dogs will eat it. Amen. Unlike us, where we have to be able to do that. But for us as believers, we know that the scripture says we are born of we are sons of God. Amen. And First Peter chapter 2 talks about that. He says to him, I urge you, he says, believer, beloved, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from desires of the flesh that war against your soul. Amen. So that is the nature that they were talking about when they're talking about dogs, is that because the people outside Israel were deemed to live in as dogs, not necessarily the character, is that they were living like dogs, okay? Not necessarily the in terms of that. Can I just qualify that? If you look at the book of Psalms 22, verse 16, I think David is prophesying about Jesus on the cross, and he says this: dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircle me. They pierce my hands and my feet. Amen. So Psalms 22 is speaking about Jesus, seeing the whole everything walking. Being persecuted and people around him, the Romans are persecuting him. So that language of dogs is consistent with basically showing a certain nature in terms of as believers. Amen. So that's why Jesus, when he talks about this, he's actually saying, woman, you are not part of Israel, because the God's plan had always been to say, I'm going to first redeem Israel because I have a contract with them. I have to fulfill. But this woman, because of her faith, she was able to access the promises. But yet some of the people that were deemed to receive the promise, they did not receive him. Amen. I think 1 John chapter 1 talks about that. He says, He came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. But those who did receive him, he gave them the power to be called sons of God. Amen. So that was what happened with Israel here. Amen. Is that Jesus is talking about that. He says, you're an outsider. But the woman says, even so, but there must be an option for me, Jesus, to be able to access the promise and get my need met. Amen. So that is basically what God's plan and purpose for us is, that because we are now the sons of God, it's the privilege that God is highlighting in this text, is that we ourselves were in the same position as this woman, as dogs, living according to what the nature is actually calling. But now God, through Jesus, has given us the access to be called sons of God, or his children. Amen. And I always say this, if you want to know what it means to be a son of God, go to Afghanistan and some other countries and say, I'm a son of God. Or imagine what they will do to you. Because they don't expect that somebody who calls them the son of God, it means that you have a nature, a different nature than humans. Amen. They take it quite seriously. And I think that's where our faith should apply, is that we need to be able to believe that God has given us his nature so that we can live just like him on the earth. Amen. So our purpose, number one, is to rule the earth and to subdue it. Amen. With his nature. And so I explained that there's a difference between faith, like this woman had, and having belief. Scripture says faith comes from hearing the message. Amen. And the message comes from the word of Christ. So you cannot build faith without understanding or hearing the message, his word. Secondly, is that the scripture talks about is that why we are called child of God is because we have been born with an incorruptible seed. And that's the seed of Christ. Amen. Once you come into the kingdom, God then raises up our spirit man so that we have a desire for him and to be able to hear his message and hear his word. Amen. Why the scriptures in 1 Peter 23 talks about that we've been born again and we have an incorruptible seed. Because remember, with dogs, no matter how... I don't have a dog. I don't have a pet. I have a dog. The reason why is that some people, I've heard people that they brush their dog's teeth and, you know, all those kind of things and they do to a parlor. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. I'm trying. Dog food is just, alone is quite a bit of a, yeah. You know, so, but the thing is here is that with us, the scripture says that, that why we are incorruptible, because when we come into Christ, God raises up our spirit man. And our spirit man then overrides our flesh so that we can seek after God. Amen. Our heart would desire the things of God. Amen. Even whatever storms may come, but in us, it's inbuilt in us to be able to seek after God and his way. And I like, there's a scripture which I like in Titus chapter 2. It says, chapter 2 from verse 11 to 12, it says, for the grace of God has appeared to all men that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live a life controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Sorry, it's the King James. The old King James, so it's not, yeah. But the thing is that the scripture says this, is that how do we live like sons of God is because of the grace of God that has come. And that grace of God is the one that teaches us to say no. Now, in the world, in the people outside the kingdom, there's nothing, they have, because we have not received that grace, that's why they're able to allow everything to be able to allow their desires and their passions. So that is the context of this woman, that the woman was living in an environment where people did whatever they pleased. So that is why Jesus says, let the children first have their bread, and then the woman says, but even the crumbs that fall off the table. Amen. So in closing, the woman's faith is the one that drove her to be able to seek after God. Amen. And this is where I want us to end, is that Mark 7, verse 29 says, Jesus says, for such a reply, you may go and your child, your the demon has left your daughter. Amen. Jesus, there's something that when we are full of faith, and we know that faith comes from hearing the message, because we cannot be full of faith if we don't hear the message in terms of hearing God's word. Then we're able to respond, amen, to situations and be able to commune with God. And notice what this woman said. She doesn't say, are you not going to come to my house? Imagine if I needed Jamie to come bring prayer. And he says, no, you can go now. I would be a bit offended. He didn't come to my house and lay hands on my child. But she took what Jesus said and she went home. She did not need Jesus to physically come to her house and physically demonstrate that do exorcism, whatever you call it. Amen. For such a respond. So faith gives us the ability to respond to every situation. Amen. Last verse, second last verse. Hebrews 11:6. The scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. What made this woman or her daughter or her need to be is that faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I like this last part. It says, because everyone who approaches him must believe that he exists. Amen. That when you approach God, you need to believe that he exists. For your need to be met, you need to believe that he is God. And he exists. Amen. And then he says this, and he is the reward of those who earnestly seek him. That is why this woman was able to access God's promises, even though it was reserved for children. Amen. Hebrews, and the last verse is that Hebrews 19 says, God now has made a better way, amen, for us, that we can be able to draw near. Hebrews 7, verse 19, amen. In summing up, this book shows us that there were people in those days that would not necessarily receive the gospel, but because they just heard a bit of the message, they ran after it, and they were able to get their needs met. How much more God has given us himself. God has given us his spirit. Amen. Shouldn't that challenge the way we live? Amen. Should we not desire more of him? Amen. One of the things that I just to demonstrate faith, my little one is afraid of thunder, and I'm afraid of thunder as well. And it was load shedding. I think it was load shedding or something like that. And he said something very, he wanted to go to another room, but it was dark. And he just said, Jesus, make me brave. And then he ran through the night. That's the only thing, that one word, he said, Jesus, make me brave. And he took that word because Jesus was going to make him brave. And he ran in the thunder at night, in the darkness. That's faith. Is that we take what God has said and we walk with it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.